Happy Friday, everyone, and welcome back to my podcast, Grab It Quick News. This is the 7th episode of season 5. We are halfway done with season 5. Can you believe it? This will be my final season. I hope you have enjoyed it as much as I have. And as always, I appreciate every single listener and writer. 2024 is here and we are feeling its wonderful vibes. January, we made sure resolutions were made, and now February is here and we're making strides to being more open and honest as a community. Thank you, Cat Williams. May 2024 continue to let us all shine brightly. All right, let's get started. Woman slammed for toxic list of requirements in potential boyfriend. A single Melbourne woman posted a hopeful letter in a unique quest for love, but it was her bizarre demands that captured people's attention. A single woman who is fed up with online dating has taken to the streets to find a new man, posting a hopeful list of her future partner's requirement through random front doors. The 26-year-old from Melbourne said she was over the superficiality of dating apps and instead wanted to try to meet someone the old-fashioned way, without drinking alcohol. Dating apps have never turned out well for me, she wrote on a lengthy letter. It would be refreshing to get to know someone who doesn't need to go out and get trashed every weekend with their friends. Stating her future man must be in good physical and mental health, not a creeper, and also quote-unquote fit. Some users have pointed out that she may struggle to find someone with all these demands. She wants a committed long-term relationship, but also refuses to be a part of a partner's mental health. Yeah, this sounds like one toxic individual, one person wrote. Another agreed, calling poor mental health unsexy is potentially the most vile commentary I have ever written or wrote. Really, this is a kind of shallow list, no different to anything you'd see on a dating app, another said. The problem is her unnecessarily mocking and derisive way of going about expressing that, someone else weighed in. While some were put off by her forward-thinking method, others were praising her for being proactive in her quest for love. It is necessarily wrong to look for good mental health in a romantic partner, one user asked, while another helpfully declared humans are complicated. She also stated her future man needed to be between the age of 26 and 34 and has to live locally in the Yuyang's area. I'm looking for a relationship, not a fuckboy. So no commitment phobes, she wrote. During her unorthodox quest to find a partner, the anonymous woman described all the dating disasters she's experienced on Tinder, including being stood up and having conversations lacking intellect and thought. She's also been the victim of unsolicited dick pics. Say no more. If her long list of requirements doesn't put you off, she explained she's looking for someone who has shared interests, revealing she loves keeping fit with activities like yoga, bike riding, and walking. Doesn't she sound like a catch? This is the second half of my podcast where I give advice to my listeners who have wrote in. A gentle reminder, if you're not 18 or older, you should not be listening to this without your parents' consent. Our first letter is from a male in Georgia who writes, Dear Jessica, I'm a gay male. My best friend is a 31-year-old trans woman. We used to be roommates, and I was always able to make sure she was being safe with the partner she brought home. I have moved out recently, and now she is telling me that she is bringing 18 and 19-year-old men back to her place and turning them out. She does not tell them that she is a trans woman. I'm very concerned for her safety. What should I do? Well, male in Georgia, thank you so much for writing this letter. I think the only thing that you can do is to continue to check up on your friend. I think she is enjoying the attention, and I think she's also enjoying turning these men out. But I think you may want to explain to her the long-term effects that could have, as well as the danger, because we all know that the statistics of trans abuse is higher than any other statistic, any other gender demographic. And you just want to look out for her. You're a really good friend for even caring. Would I move back in with her? No, but I would have a conversation with her about her unsafe practices. And I would also maybe try to talk to her about the fact that she is gorgeous. So why does she feel the need to hide who she is, because the truth is men like what they like. So if she finds someone who is physically attracted to her and she just says, hey, I'm trans, I'm going to say 70% of the time, if no one is going to know about it, most men will jump on that. And I know I'm going to get a lot of flack and Jessica, that's not true, but it is. Whatever you do in the dark, it comes to the light. That's why some of us have obese baby mamas. Eh? That's why some of us have people from a different race. Some of us are down low homosexual. So let's not pretend that when we're in the dark, we're up on the up and up, okay? So we're not going to do that. So us being real is that most men that she will encounter, if they know that she is a trans woman and she's as beautiful as you were saying, they're not going to have a problem with that. So we may want to discuss that with her and try to get her to see that from a standpoint. And we also just want to make sure that we tell her safety measures. You know, you can't keep bringing people back to your house. Go to a hotel. Go to meet them at a well-lit area. Make sure that you're being 100% safe. And that's what we want. Thanks so much for the letter. The second letter is from a female in Kansas who writes, Dear Jessica, I cheated on my job entrance exam. They want to promote me and give me 5 times what I was making before. I feel bad about lying and cheating, but I also feel like this is a blessing. I have been working at this job for years and it has not paid off. What are your thoughts on this? Well, I think that cheating is always a bad thing. I think at first when you cheat, you think, oh my God, I'm getting away with something, or it's going to help me get ahead. But sometimes it's not what you think. I think you cheating on a job entrance exam, it could come back and bite you in the ass. Depending on what the job is and what the job requirements are, based on that job assessment exam that they gave you, that's why they're giving you the promotion. So if you said, hey, I'm really good at calculating figures for the company and you did that exam and it shows that, they may expect you to do that. If it was about your productivity as a whole, getting people to be productive at work, they're going to expect that. So yes, you got the job and yes, you'll make 5 times more, but you also need to remember that you cheated. And the experience that you said you had, you may not have. And when the rubber meets the road, you're going to have to show them that you are competent enough to do it. Do I think you can do it? I'm not sure because I don't know what job it was. I just know that you may be feeling guilty and that's why you wrote me. And I'm telling you now, I personally would not accept the job. I wouldn't accept the job for the simple fact that I don't really know what it entails. And now you're at a point where you scored phenomenally on this job entrance exam. They want to hire you. So then when you go back to speak with HR or the hiring department and you're like, so, hey, what exactly is the job description going to be? You're going to give these people doubt because they're going to be like, well, you passed it with flying colors. So it doesn't matter what it's about. So now you got to really think about, oh, my God, do I want to play this part every day? For the money, or do I want to go ahead and work on the skills that I have and maybe go find another job that will appreciate my skills and pay me what I'm worth? Because that's one thing that I have learned when you go out in the workforce is sometimes we settle because we're like, okay, well, they said yes. I applied to 30 jobs and I got this one yes. And no, they don't pay me a lot, but it's closed. I can do this and that. Like, we usually make these huge excuses for why we take these jobs where we settle for less money. But the truth is, you don't have to settle. So if you know you're worth more, because you said you've been at this job for a couple of years and they haven't really noticed you, so now you have resorted to cheating, which shows me that this job is making you lose who you are. And you never want a job to make you lose who you are as a person. You always want to pick something that, number one, you're passionate about. Number two, that it has a good why. Like, why am I doing this job? If it's just to pay your bills, if it's just to get ahead, then that why is going to wear off when you're burned out. So even you cheating and getting to where you thought you wanted to be, that could end up being a disaster because you're making all this money, but are you appreciative of it? Do you even care? Was it worth it? So that's where me personally, that's where I go when I think about things like that. Like, That's a big reason why I wouldn't cheat on a job entrance exam. And also, I'm a terrible liar. So I'll be like, yeah, I can do productivity. And they're like, where's the productivity, Jessica? And I'm like, I don't know where that went. You know what I mean? But like I said, this is just you writing me. This is the advice that I'm giving you. I'm sorry if it's not the advice that you want to hear, but I really do think that you may want to reassess this and maybe find another job. All right. Thanks so much for the letter. Our last and final letter is from a female in New Jersey who writes, Dear Jessica, I keep running into grown men who cannot read or write. It is driving me crazy. When I point it out, suddenly I'm the bad guy. I'm asking for the bare minimum in men. Please help. Well, female from New Jersey, thank you so much for writing me this letter. A little known fact is that America is pretty illiterate. I want to say the number is like 2 in 5 people cannot read, and it's getting worse since the pandemic. Our children are not able to comprehend what they're reading. They're able to read it, but they can't comprehend it. And we also have a lot of people who were born in the 60s who did not really need to have a high school education, who are still walking around. We also have a lot of people who are still very traditional, where it's more important for us to have a job that pays, like a factory job, than us to actually read. I feel like if that's something you're running into, it could be the universe trying to help you teach someone a lesson. And that lesson is that we don't judge, right? That's always a place you need to go from there, is that this person may not be able to read, but are they a good person? And that's something that I feel we as women, especially now with our independence, with us having this ambition, this drive to accomplish a lot of things that people said we couldn't, we have kind of started to look down. And I always love to put myself in other people's shoes. Like, what if it was me who had the reading comprehension problem? We know I don't have a reading comprehension problem. I've wrote 10 books. I've got a podcast. You know what I mean? I got a blog on my website. We know I don't have it. You know what I'm saying? But what if I did? And if I did, I would want someone to show me a little compassion and a little grace. And there is something about you that is attracting these men. It could be that you have a nurturing, kind spirit. It could be that you are just a wonderful person, and you may seem like you're a patient person. So I don't want someone to miss their blessing. It's just like we always say about men always have a 90% at home, but they throw her away for a 10. This could be the same thing. This could be that 10%. This person could be gorgeous. This person could understand you emotionally. This person could meet you spiritually. This person could have the bombest sex. But the one thing that they don't have is that they don't read very well, or they cannot read. So if you really think it's an issue, then you may want to do two things. You could change the surrounding in which you are finding yourself, meaning you could go ahead and date outside of where you're at, your community. So that means you may only want to date when you go out of town, or you only want to date people who live in another state, or you only want to date when they live, you know, anywhere from 3 to 5 hours away from you, right? Because psychology tells us that we date people who are closest to us, not necessarily the sexiest, the smartest, or the prettiest. Remember that. You date the people who are in the closest proximity to you because they have known you for a long time and you're familiar with that. And that's how we settle. Totally different story for a different time, right? But that's one thing that you could do. The second thing that you could do is you could just go ahead and give it a shot. If these people that you're meeting, if their only disqualification is that they have some literacy problems, maybe you could be the one to help them with that. Am I saying act like you're Helen Keller's teacher and teach them how to see and read? No, but I am saying you could be that catalyst where you could be like, hey, you're such a great person. And I don't want you to miss out on life's opportunities. And I think it would be really great for you if me and you read a book a week, You know what I mean? Start a personal book club with them. Or even go further as to say, you know, maybe you want to go to a reading comprehension class. A lot of people, there's a lot of stigma and shame about that. It's just like being older and not knowing how to tie your shoes, right? Like, that was something you were supposed to learn in kindergarten and you didn't. So what's wrong with you? So we don't want to be judgmental of people like that. We want to make sure that we handle it with grace, kindness, and always patience and love, because that's what we would want them to do for us.